The Fan on Demand. Got Game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan at Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, a show by gamers for gamers. Coming up on this week's show, the Spike VGAs have come and gone, and they showed us a whole ton of goodness, which is on the way. We break down the trailers and talk about the games we're most excited to see. Plus, how much would you pay for some DLC? How about $100? Because now you can. We'll explain.
Have you got game? The Lowdown.
Another edition of Got Game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Momin Qureshi in the host chair. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb around the table.
I'm still alive.
Still
I did not die last week. I was in terrible shape last week.
Yes, that's true. Calhoun was hacking up both of his lungs last week.
You do.
It was charming.
It was so bad, you told me not to come into work the next day.
I did. And you can't talk before I introduce you, Zach. You have to wait until you get your introduction before you
this
jump on the air.
This is Got Game.
How long has it been since you did that? It's been like 2 months now.
A little more.
The reason Zach hasn't is because he's been fighting crime as a member of a jury, trying to bring justice to the Canadian system. That's still going on, but hopefully he'll be back with us sooner than later. But nice enough to join us on his lunch break between trying to save the world. And this past weekend was the Spike Video Game Awards, the 2011 edition, where they doled out some trophies. It was actually a pretty fancy show with Zachary Levy, better known as Chuck, as the host.
He did a great job.
I think he did too.
I'm not a big Chuck guy, but I don't know. I mean, whether he's a gamer or not, he convinced me that he is in tune with the industry.
And he actually,
saw him at E3.
Yeah, I was gonna say he actually is quite a big gamer. And me and Christine were on our way somewhere at E3, and we walked by, and he was standing there. So apparently, he loves the video games.
If he was at E3, he must be a gamer.
Yeah, that's why we were there. So if he was there, it must be the same thing.
Your boop boop.
So they handed out a number of awards, and I think to no one's surprise, Skyrim took home Game of the Year.
Shocking.
And they gave it up, and obviously it's a made-for-TV event, so they're not as...
It's basically Trailer Fest, world
yeah.
premiere.
And the awards they gave out aren't necessarily the most technical awards. Like, they had an award for Character of the Year, which was the Joker in Arkham City, which I think is awesome because he's amazing like that.
Quickly, before
and Hamill's going out with a bang.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not going to be reprising his role again. And, you know, I'm not sure how much the Spike TV video game Character of the Year award means to him, but it's nice to get these kind of accolades. But I do just want to say something about Skyrim quickly before we move on to talk about, you know, what we saw from the show. Just the fact that, you know, Bethesda put out the release that, you know, they've shipped 10 million copies of Skyrim. I think that game's done a wonderful job of sort of expanding upon the genre of open world action RPGs, because, you know, it wasn't too long ago that it was kind of considered like a niche genre. You know, it's kind of the Dungeons and Dragons, if you will. But it shows that, you know, it's reaching beyond the core audience, and because I guess people are talking about it, more people are getting into it. I have faith that whoever gets into it is probably going to love it. I'm still going back and back. You know, we were talking about that last week, and I'm just, you know, very much. Congratulations are due to Bethesda and the folks behind Skyrim for obviously crafting a game that has been deemed Game of the Year by us for the most part, and you know, Spike TV as well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And you know, I'm not a big RPG guy. I haven't played Skyrim. I don't really have any intention of playing Skyrim, just because I'm not very patient when it comes to things like that. But I have heard so many people who are not at all RPG players talking about how much they love this game. They're obsessed with this game. It's taken up a huge part of their life. And you're right, when it comes to Game of the Year, usually it's games like an Uncharted or a Halo or something like that, where it's got more broad appeal. But this game has taken the year by storm, so it's crazy.
Yeah, good
but
times.
We will do our year in review show next week, where we're going to have to go back through the year and talk about a number of things in the games that were the best part of the year. Our trip to E3, I'm sure, will come up, and a number of other things. But as you said, the VGAs are known for showing off trailers of what's to come in the next year, and if not years to come. A lot of good stuff was shown this time around. I'm sure the one that caught Calhoun's eye maybe was the Metal Gear Rising trailer, which...
Revengeance. What is Revengeance?
They rebranded it with Revenge and Vengeance in one. Let's make it into a new word.
They also took the... They also took the name Solid out of the entire game.
They did.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of every year, Merriam-Webster comes out with the word of the year. I'm putting it on now. 2012's word of the year is going to be revengeance.
Yes.
I have faith in the calendar year of 2012 that something better will come up. Good on you. I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan. I'm a huge fan of the Metal Gear franchise. And, you know, that seems more, you know, Ninja Gaiden to me, and I have faith that it's going to turn into something that's going to be action packed, and I'll probably end up loving it. But I don't know if it's really what I expected out of the Metal Gear franchise, even though that's basically I don't know how much was new based on what we had seen before. I guess it wasn't at E3 because Metal Gear wasn't at E3.
Mm-hmm.
But sometime before that, they were showing off a trailer that was very similar, and a lot of it had to do with sword play.
It was E3 2010, not last year's, but the year before that.
Okay, so it was the one before that. Yeah, either way, I mean, it was pretty clear in my memory as to what I'd seen. And, you know, a lot of it's more based on combat than it is stealth. And to me, that's not what really the Metal Gear franchise embodies.
No, but it does make sense when you realize that Platinum Games are the people who are making this game now. Platinum Games, before this, they did Bayonetta. They did, what's that first-person or third-person shooter they did? Vanquish, that's it.
Mm.
I didn't really love any of those. Either of those games.
I didn't really love Bayonetta. I reviewed that last year, and it wasn't... A lot of people loved it, but I didn't.
2 years ago, I think it was. Yeah.
Vanquish was kind of an average third-person shooter, but the thing that made it really great was that they always had awesome set pieces. My favorite example was the very first level. You know, you're sort of charging this beachhead in this giant spaceship, and you get taken down, your ship crashes, you jump out, and you look behind you, you know, and there's like five other giant spaceships coming down about to land on you and crush you, and in front of you there's like 50 bad guys with guns. Okay, go, figure it out, you know?
There's no doubt the Vanquish was a very good-looking game. I just... You know, and there was a lot to it as far as the combat goes and special abilities. I just didn't find it to be very much fun.
When I saw this Metal Gear trailer, I had a hard time believing it was Metal Gear, because I watched it and I was like, this looks wicked cool, and you saw all the stuff, and it was like a lot of like almost sword fighting and stuff like that, and at the end it was like Metal Gear Revengeance. I was like, Metal Gear?
Revenge with a vengeance.
I think it was Metal Gear Uprising or Rising.
Yeah.
But I
was just like, really? This is a Metal Gear game? Because I agree with you. It looks kind of more martial arts based than military based. But either way,
it had been what we'd seen before, you know, a couple of years ago. I don't know how much was new other than the fact that this time it was surrounding rumors as to whether the game was still in production or not. And it was just kind of Kojima coming out and saying, you know, it is going on, and we've changed it, and this is how it's changed, and here's the new name, and go crazy.
And then he yelled out "Transforming," and then ran away.
Yeah.
Well, I doubt there's actually a lot that would be similar between what we saw in 2010 and what is actually happening right now at Platinum Games, because what happened was that apparently, you know, when they were trying to make this game, I think they started making it about 2008. Kojima was busy working on another project, probably Transforming is probably what he was working on, and he didn't have the time to actually make this game, so he passed it off to younger members of his team, which... Apparently, they weren't up to the challenge, because all they ended up making was that watermelon slicing technology that you saw.
Yeah.
They didn't have a game behind it. So that's what they had to do, was they passed it off to Platinum Games. And there's a whole 25-minute-long trailer on, what was it? It was www.
I don't think 25 minutes is a trailer. I'm pretty sure that's a short film.
Okay, so there's a short film on MetalGearSolid.com, you know, where they actually go through and they explain sort of what happened, why Kojima felt that, you know, they couldn't put a game together and they had to pass off the Platinum Games. So if you're interested to see sort of the background behind that, I would go check out that short film.
Maybe they played a lot of Fruit Ninja. That's why they had the slashing technology.
Yeah, Fruit Ninja. One trailer. I don't know where we're kind of going with this, because I'm not in the studio.
We're going where you lead us. Go on.
Well, okay. So the big thing that stuck out to me, I think, as far as the trailers go, the world premieres. I'm trying to remember who the developer was, but it was called Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. Epic Games.
That was next on our list. So you're like psychic. Good job.
Who was it? Who was the developer behind it?
Epic Games, makers of Gears of War.
Oh yeah, because it was Cliffy B that had introduced it. So basically, I think it takes the idea of Minecraft, basically, where you're building a fort, and then you've got these dark forces, zombies or aliens or whatever they may be, that come out at night, and it's kind of like a tower defense game, very similar, I think, to the way that Minecraft set up a staple, a very successful staple,
or
that
very similar to,
you know, building something and trying to see if it holds up to whatever it is that you're fighting off. And it just looks a lot more polished. Obviously, you know, Minecraft's got a lot of charm with the graphics, but it's very old school. This just looks very, really, really fresh. And I'm anxious to see what it looks like in the end. It's probably a ways off, but it was nice to see that.
We should mention that Minecraft did actually win Independent Game of the Year at the VGAs.
The comparison,
with good reason as well.
Absolutely.
But the comparison I want to make here is that when I saw the Fortnite trailer, what really jumped in my head as soon as I actually saw the epic symbol on the trailer was that this kind of reminds me of Horde mode, and maybe it'd be a more in-depth idea with Horde, where in the latest version of Horde mode, you kind of have a base that you're supposed to defend. You know, what if that was what they did? What if, like, between waves of bad guys, you had a base that you had to go out and scavenge stuff, and then you come back and you build up your base, and as time goes on, your base can be destroyed by these constant waves of...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a basic theme behind any tower defense game, and it's the same thing behind, Minecraft as well. It's the exact same principle, but the thing is, I don't think it's ever looked sexier from that perspective, so, that sparked a lot of curiosity for me as well.
I don't know where I was going with that thought. I just had it in my head and I lost it. That's where I was going. The game that I didn't get a chance to play, but I know, Zach, you and Christine got to play, was the Alan Wake series.
And
that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that Minecraft, to me, is one of the stories of the year, because it was a game that just kind of rose up and dominated a lot of people's lives early on this year. But going back to Alan Wake, you guys both got to play it. What did you think of the new trailer for Alan Wake's American Nightmare?
Go ahead, Chubb.
I really liked it. I thought that I was curious to see where they were going to go with this. I mean, obviously, Alan Wake was one of my favorite games of that year, and but there is a limitation to it. But I liked what I saw. I liked the idea that it's Alan against his arch enemy / alter ego, and I like the look of everything. Like, it still has the hauntingness to it, but it seems like it's going to be a bigger map this time. It seems like it's going to be a little more aggressive.
And it's DLC. I mean, it's not DLC, but it's a downloadable title. And to me, I mean, there's still a lot of confusion. I'll admit, I was assembling a stroller while I was watching the VGAs the day after. And when I heard Alan Wake, my eyes perked up a little bit, my ears did that, or whatever perks up, I don't know. I was kind of paying attention, but I still don't really, it didn't really move me to the point that I expected it to, because like Chubb was talking about, I mean, I had a really good time with Alan Wake when it came out, I guess it was 2 years ago or whatever it was.
Last year.
But for whatever reason, I'm not all that interested in what's in the store this time around. I remember the original Alan Wake took, 4 years to make or something?
Yeah.
And they're kind of throwing this together in a downloadable title. I mean, who's to say that it won't be fantastic? I don't know. But I just know that I wasn't all that intrigued, because it looks very much the same as what it was before. And to me, as much as I enjoyed the storyline of Alan Wake, a lot of it was dependent upon the episodic DLC that came after. And I didn't get into that. And there were a lot of these, loose ends that kind of, I think, got tied up very quickly, and I don't know. The way it was all wrapped up in the end didn't really sit too well with me. And I think that's kind of left a bit of a bitter taste and a little bit of cynicism toward what is coming next for me, personally.
Yeah, I have to agree. And something actually you said just kind of worried me. They do seem to be trying to get this out as quickly as possible. And the fastest way to do that is probably to make combat sequences, compared to huge sort of... set pieces, they are slightly easier and quicker to program. If they're going to be focusing, or if they're going to be trying to get this out as quickly as possible, I fear they're going to be focusing on those combat sequences, which was in the previous Alan Wake games, but not the best part of those Alan Wake games.
No, the story was definitely the mainstay of the Alan Wake, and I agree. I think that this is going to be far more, mano a mano, fighting than...
Your flashlight against my flashlight.
There is a lot more to talk about from the VGAs, and we will discuss all that in the next segment. Some big reviews to get to, and including who's on the cover of the new NFL Blitz. We talked about that last week, that there was a contest, and we'll tell you who won.
Do we have to?
We do. That's all coming up on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We've got game. Do you in the game?
You're back with Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Momin Qureshi sitting in the host chair. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb with us on the phone. On his lunch break from jury duty is Zach Cooper. We're talking
this
about...
is Got Game.
That's right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I wanted to.
All right.
I miss it.
I know you do. And we miss having you on the show. But I'm glad I took over the host chair in a bloodless coup, so that was good.
Enjoy. You sounded like a star, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. We've been talking about the Spike Video Game Awards, which were on last week. And we talked about some of the trailers that are coming out. We're going to keep up with that trend. Something that we talked about on last week's show is that there was a contest being held on the VGAs to decide who is going to be on the cover or the virtual cover of the new NFL Blitz, which is coming out on January 4th. And the winner was Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice. Who I think Calhoun, that's who you wanted to win, right?
Yeah, that's my choice.
That was your choice.
I didn't realize Calhoun was banking on Ray Rice.
He made an open plea for him last week. He said that's his pick.
But despite that, still don't really care because it's not actually a cover.
It's true, it is weird because it's not, it's a DLC game. It's a downloadable game, not DLC, but it's a downloadable game. So it's a virtual cover. So even though he's on the cover, there is no actual cover to be on.
There's no box to put a cover
Everyone knows that, especially with downloadable titles, when you're talking about the marketplace, the icon is so very important. So
it is.
Thumbs up to Ray Rice. I think it's very deserving. You know, when you think of Blitz, you think of big hits. And so, you know, in the NFL, when you think of big hits, you think of the Ravens. And obviously, you know, Ray Rice is on the other side of the ball, but he's had a fantastic season. And I think it was a fantastic choice. I'm with Calhoun on this one.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed those words?
I want to say one thing. I need to run right now, but I'm relatively confident that we forgot last week when we were talking about exclusives. I'm fairly confident that we forgot about Killzone 3. I know Resistance 3 was brought in. If we did mention it, I apologize.
No, we didn't.
Okay, well, Killzone 3 was obviously very deserving of a mention. It was a solid game, and it's definitely worthy of consideration for picking up during the holidays. I'm sure all that conversation will come a little bit later on, you know, next week when we do our year-end wrap-up of, greatest titles to look out for. But I kind of felt bad after the fact when I left the last taping after I realized that we didn't mention it. So I wanted to say that. I also want to say happy holidays to everyone listening. All our listeners are awesome. You guys, the three of you who are holding it down in the studio, you've done a fantastic job. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor working with you. And I look forward to obviously another year ahead and good times that will come through game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And I need to depart, but I just wanted to say that. And thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me come on via the phone during my lunch breaks as well. It's been a blast. A little inconvenient at times, but it's been a blast.
I want to carry on, but I can't talk. I got something in my eye right now. I don't think I'm able to carry on the show. No, it's been lovely having you on the phone, and I think it shows your dedication to the show that you're willing to join us for whatever minutes you can while you're trying to save the world and be on your lunch break. And it's been an awesome year for this show. We've done a lot of cool stuff, including traveling to Los Angeles for E3, which was awesome. So I know you got to run, so go forth and save the world, young man.
I'll do what I can. Lady, gentlemen, all our listeners, farewell. May it be an even better 2012.
And to you, sir.
Right,
and to
back
you.
At you, Coop.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's you, dude. There he is, one Zacharias Poindexter Cooper, joining us from jury duty. Hopefully that will wrap up fairly shortly, and he can become a regular member for every minute of this show next year. It'll be fun. It's been quite a year for us.
He actually reminded me that I forgot one game to mention last week as well. As far as PlayStation exclusives go, Gran Turismo 5.
Yes.
As far as racing games go.
I thought about that when I went home, and I thought, hey, yeah, Calhoun didn't mention GT 5.
Yeah.
I didn't either, so I played it as well.
It's not the racing game that ever stuck with me, though. It's a decent game, but there are actually better alternatives out there if you have an Xbox.
You know what I found it was about that game? It wasn't focused. It was kind of all over the place.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what did it for me, is that it was like one part NASCAR, one part rally racing, one part this, one part that, and I was like, yeah, it's all over the place.
They wanted to get everything in, and...
Yeah.
By doing that, they missed the mark.
And they had, like, so many cars. And, yeah, it was still good.
Yeah. I'm not saying it wasn't
so
good.
It didn't have the sort of the magical feel that the old Gran Turismos did, found. I found it was just sort of missing something. You want to, guys, keep talking about the VGAs? Want to throw around a couple more titles?
Yeah, there was there was at least one trailer that really blew me away.
And what was that, Christine?
It was The Last of Us, which I think looks awesome.
And kind of give us a rundown of what that game's about.
It's kind of an apocalyptic end of the world.
I love those.
That's an unfair question.
I love those.
Man and assumably daughter fight, like they say at the end of the trailer. You know, our everyday is like this. It's just survival. And
it kind of reminded me of what is the name of that? I keep forgetting the name of that. I Am Here. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
I Am Here. That's what it was like. The downloadable game that's coming out this year.
The one from Ubisoft. Yeah. No, it's not. I Am Here.
I Am Alive.
I'm alive.
That's what it's called. Yeah. I am alive. Yeah, kind of had sort of that feel to it.
It does, but the thing is that we saw a very nice cinematic trailer. I mean, at this point, what I know for sure is that Naughty Dog's Evan Wells went on the PlayStation blog after the VGAs and wrote a little bit about him, basically saying that it's going to be a blend of survival and action elements. Apparently, the two characters who are named Joel and Ellie will have to fight across the United States to find weapons and food and stuff like that, basically to survive. But at this point, all we really know about it is that because it's a Naughty Dog game, it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, considering Sony mm-hmm. owns Naughty Dog.
Of course. And they made the Uncharted.
Yeah. And so it looks a lot like the Uncharted.
I was going to say that Naughty Dog made the Uncharted, so they got a great pedigree, a great backing to stand on that for fans to know that they know how to make games. Even though Uncharted 3 wasn't as great as 2 and 1, it was still a quality game, and they know how to crank out high-quality, really good story-driven games. So mm-hmm. I look forward to it.
Yeah,
it's a I would say of the trailers that came out during the VGAs, that's the one that was on top of my list. Where I was like, oh yeah, I want to see that.
I would have said Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD would have been the trailer on top of your list.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I am a fan of the Tony Hawk series all the way back to when I would play it on the N64. And I love those games, and I do board somewhat in real life. I haven't for the last couple of years, but I did for a time in my life. I love skateboarding, and I love the X Games and the Dew Tour and all that kind of stuff. And they need a good comeback because Tony Hawk Ride was universally panned by critics and fans alike. People did not like that. That was the one where they had the actual peripheral board that you could put on the ground and skate around and do stuff, and people didn't like it.
No, they spent a lot of money and time developing the board, but the game itself that they developed was not up to par with previous titles because they did not have the time or the money to do both the board and the game at the same time.
Definite misstep by the people who make Tony Hawk, but this new one, Pro Skater HD, actually looks pretty good, and it kind of caught my eye, and I thought, you know, if they can go back to what made the series so good, it'll be good for them. But I also feel like the skate genre maybe it's run its course a bit between the actual skate, quote-unquote, the actual skate franchise, which was Skate 1, 2, and 3, and all the Tony Hawks out there. Not sure that there's much more they could bring us, but if they went back a couple of steps and maybe went a little old school, maybe there would be. I think it's maybe a bit like the sports franchises like NHL or Madden, where if you're a skate fan and it's got all the skaters in it, like a Ryan Sheckler and GLP and Tony Hawk in it, then you'll get it because you're a fan of the entire series. But they definitely have a little bit to prove in terms of, based on the mistake, let's say, that they made with Tony Hawk Ride. So I hope they can. Do you guys want to talk about the only two trailers that we have left on the list now are The Amazing Spider-Man,
which technically was already announced before this, but we hadn't seen any footage. Yep. And Beanox, the Montreal studio who made the previous two Spider-Man games. This is the third one for them, is making this game. And I was very excited about what I saw. The very first two Beanox games were kind of a departure from Spider-Man games in a historical sense, where, you know, before the Beanox Spider-Man games, everything was kind of open world. You're swinging around.
Yep.
Kind of really cool just to try and move around the city as Spider-Man. But those Beanox games were closed in
Linear.
Yeah, very linear, sort of hallway crawls, which is kind of weird. Now, from what we've seen from this trailer, it looks like they may be going back to that old formula of the open world, because we didn't see any small hallways. We saw like huge fights in Central Park and stuff like that. So,
and I agree with you. I really like Shattered Dimensions, which was the first one they put out last year. I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was good. It was the one where you had the four different Spider-Mans from the four different timelines, and you'd play. The one that came out, I think it was this year, I didn't really play, and I know that many people did not particularly enjoy it.
Yeah, I played like 5 minutes of it, and I was like, I'm done. And it was a hallway crawl. It all happened in like one giant building. The entire game happened in one building. They were going back and forth in time, but from the 5 minutes I played, I just was like, I'm done. This is it. I don't want to play
more. It's interesting. I think a lot of games really need to follow the Batman sort of mantra and try to make them like that, because Arkham City and now Arkham Asylum before it were just both so well done. And Spider-Man is a game that can have that dark, gritty feel to it as well. So I think they could do that.
They can have fun Spider-Man games. The two movie games, like I said before, were a lot of fun.
Actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I think, though, with Spider-Man, especially compared to Batman, there's just so much depth in all the characters of the Batman world that it's easy to make a game that's complex, whereas in Spider-Man, I mean, no offense to Spider-Man fans, but I've always found it kind of a superficial
I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely more of a Batman fan than a Spidey fan, but mm-hmm. I did grow up a Spidey fan, and I think there's enough villains out there with Green Goblin and Doc Ock and Sandman and Venom, and then of course the Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy and all that kind of stuff, that I think there's enough they could do it. But, you know, we'll see. I'm looking forward to this new one. I hope they can kind of get back on their feet and make a good game. The last trailer, the only one left that we haven't talked about, is Command & Conquer Generals 2. I played a bit of the Command & Conquer series when I was a kid. But I don't know, Calhoun, I'm looking in your direction.
You take this, because I've never played a Command & Conquer game. I'm not a strategy game guy. It's not a genre that's ever interested me, so I've never played any of them.
I kind of like them, but it's not really been my bag either. I don't know, Christine, how about you?
I thought it looked cool. I mean, I'd never played Command & Conquer before, but it's definitely a game that I think I would I'd throw a few hours in, because it looked nice, and I don't know. Kind of appealed to me.
Clearly, that is the game that has the least amount of appeal to all of us, based on the stuff that came from the VGAs. We only have about 2 minutes left, so I don't want to get into any other stories just yet.
Oh, I got a great story for us to get into.
Well, I do too. If you're talking about the Sony story, I want to save that for segment three, because
no,
I think
I was talking about the EA story.
Okay, just give me 1 second, because I do want to just quickly, I know the games don't really matter to you guys, but I just want to say Xbox 360 Game of the Year was Arkham City. PS3 Game of the Year was Uncharted 3, and the Wii Game of the Year was, Christine? There's only one, really, that you could think
of. I'm sure it was Sonic and Mario go to the Olympics.
It was actually Sonic and Mario go to Israel.
Israel.
It was amazing. They went to the wall. It was awesome. They brought peace. It's amazing. There's actually...
Sonic was slow
crazy.
That time.
No, it was The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. No, to no surprise. Calhoun.
Did we just offend somebody, or...?
No, I don't think so. By saying that they brought peace to the Middle East, I don't think so. Unless, okay, I could have offended you, maybe.
We may have offended somebody.
No, I don't think so. Go on.
It's a joke.
You're just so stunned silent. Are you going to bring up your EA story or no? We have a minute here.
No, I'm not. You started this. You carry it. I'm done for this.
All right,
rest of
well, let's
segment.
Do that. Best multiplayer was Portal 2, which Calhoun, I know you loved.
You probably should say at some point, though, that you're listing off best games according to what I'm assuming, because I can't see the screen that you're looking at right now.
Yeah.
These are best games according to the group of judges that picked for the VGAs.
Yeah, and I know you're hard on the VGAs because you don't think they have any credibility, but so far I have yet to argue with the choice that they've made so far and say that, oh, that shouldn't have been...
Well, I don't think a show has any credibility, but the judges are sort of accredited video game reviewers throughout the video game industry.
Oh, there you
people
go.
From your GameSpot to your IGNs, stuff like that. So it's not the choices that I have a problem with. It's the wrapping that they put all this in. In fact, I think most of the awards, weren't they, you know, given out in some sort of quick montage that happened like 5 minutes?
Yeah, but that's how every award show is. That's how they do the Grammys. That's how they do the Oscars.
Has a
show before the Oscars.
You have a 2-hour show and you get rid of most of the awards in like five minutes.
Yeah, that's just how it goes now.
That's just smart TV producing, in my opinion. You don't want to... It's all about the trailers and the packaging and putting on a good show.
Then call it Spike's Video Game Trailers.
No, it is the Video Game Awards. They did give away awards.
Yeah.
I you know what? I think you should go back and at least watch some of the show, because this year's show was actually quite good. It was pretty good. But that wraps up 2 segments worth of Spike VGA talk. Next week, we're going to have... Well, I guess it won't be on the air, but we're trying to do a podcast version of our year in review. We're going to try to have some guests on, talk about our favorites. If you know your favorites, send us an email, gotgame@fan590.com, or a tweet @gotgame590. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about a very interesting story that has to do with Sony and what a year it was for Sony. Boy, they had some tumultuous times this year. That's all coming up on Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Momin Qureshi, Christine Chubb, Brian Calhoun around the table. Zach Cooper was with us. He has run off to save the world as part of his jury duty again. Let's talk about something, Calhoun. Maybe you can tee the story up. It's kind of a funny story. EA has an expensive proposition for people. Take it away. Tell us what it's about.
Yeah. Apparently, they want to sell you one piece of DLC for their Need for Speed World, which is their free-to-play sort of MMO racing game, which is actually kind of impressive.
Yeah, so much for free-to-play.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, you can actually download it and play the game for free.
Right.
I'm not going against that fact. And I wanted to say it's very impressive because it plays on my laptop computer. Now, this is a computer that I don't consider a piece of junk, but graphically speaking, power speaking wise,
it's a piece of junk.
It can't play the Back to the Future games without stuttering. Now, Telltale Back to the Future...
It's as simple as it gets.
The Telltale Back to the Future game is not exactly a graphical giant.
No, it's very simple.
But still, it stutters. Yet, this Need for Speed World game plays perfectly on my laptop. There's no slowdown, no stuttering, no nothing. So, I mean, if you're looking for a good game for a really old system to play, this isn't a bad one. But, like you guys said, free to play, but they encourage you to purchase some things. And now they have a $100 car that you can buy.
How much?
$100.
$100.
I should say this piece of DLC, the single car, is currently on sale. You can get it for $75 until December 21st.
Ooh, bargain. Ooh. Bargain.
Ding,
go
ding.
Get it. It's
yeah.
only $75. Go get it.
Yeah.
Sure, that's not the price. That's the price of an entire game you can get separately, but why not?
That's crazy talk.
They're calling it the Koenigsegg CCX Limited Edition. This Koenigsegg CCX is a premium sports car that I think it was a twin turbo 4.7 V8 engine, puts out about 800 Whew. Or so.
That was the sound of that blowing right over my head.
Power. The point I'm trying to get to, you know, for $100, that's not a bad price for
a sports car like that. But you're a racing guy. You're a big fan of racing games. That is your favorite
genre.
I'm
not spending $100 on this.
That's my point, right? If you're the guy on this show that loves racing games, you buy them all. You race so many games. You go out and get them right away. The DLC, all that stuff. If you're not willing to drop the money on this, even the $75, who is buying this?
And no good can come of this, because two things will happen. One, you will buy this thing for $100.
I won't.
Theoretically, someone will buy this thing for $100, and it'll either have to be the greatest thing ever. Basically, you win every race.
Right, yeah.
No question, or else it's not worth the money. Or two, it's going to be failed experiments.
What's the point of having a racing car if you're a rocket through the whole thing and
exactly.
you don't actually race anybody?
And it sucks for everybody else.
I win, yay.
Yeah, and first of all, it sucks for everybody else because this car comes out there and it gives them a severe beatdown. And I would think it would suck for the guy who buys it too. Like, yes, I just beat everybody unconditionally in every single race.
That was rewarding. Yay.
You know what? There are people that actually that probably would appeal to. There are people
named Brian Calhoun.
Who have $75 to spend.
I could buy a whole other racing game for this.
You could.
You know, I'm never going to spend $100 on one piece of DLC. Because, you know, a number of things will happen. Like, you're right. If this isn't, you know, an ultimate win vehicle, you win every time, it's not worth the money.
No.
But as you guys said, whoever buys this is going to be bored, and the people who are going to be playing against them are never going to win, so it's going to be no fun for them. So it's not a good idea all around.
No. If you are going to buy this, if you're listening to Got Game right now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and you have interest in buying this, send us an email, gotgame@fan590.com. Send us a tweet, @gotgame590. Look us up individually on Twitter and let us know, A, why you're buying it, B, what it's like to have this car. Maybe we'll even get you on the show and we'll have you on to talk about what it is like to own this $100 car DLC option. And maybe we'll put you in a race against Calhoun to see what it's like.
You'd have to buy me a $100 car.
I didn't say you get the car. I said they get to race you with the car.
You have to drive the Prius.
You get to drive the Flintstone car. That's what you get to drive. Pedal power. All right, we're done. I wish, you know, one of these days, we're going to try to get Got Game to be simulcast on Sportsnet 1, and then you will see the amazing looks that Calhoun gives me. It'll be outstanding. Just the look right now is priceless.
So
that should be on the Got Game holiday card right there, that look.
So there's a story of Sony.
Yes.
Moving on.
Yes, there is a story about Sony. The story about Sony is something that we've been following here and there for the past couple of years. A North Carolina judge recently dismissed the class action suit against Sony for removing their operating system functionality from the PlayStation 3 back in 2010. I don't know if you guys remember this story. Sony...
It was update 3.21 where basically you were either forced to download it, install it, and take away your operating system or your other operating system functionality if you wanted to play on the PlayStation Network, or you keep the version you have and your access to the PlayStation Network was taken away. This was all done by Sony in an attempt to try and curb game piracy that was running rampant on systems that had other operating systems also attached to them.
And that was part of the appeal of the PlayStation, right? Is that you could tinker with it a bit. That's part of, I mean, I don't think the average gamer buys it for that, but the person who knows what they're doing, part of the reason they bought it is because they could tinker around with the operating system a bit and kind of get things the way they wanted it. And then Sony basically clamped down and said, no, you can't.
And that's the whole deal. I mean, like, I will never, ever, ever use another operating system functionality in any console simply because I don't have the technical capability to actually install it and get it working. But that's something that they actually advertised on boxes and stuff like that when they were selling the PlayStation 3. So it's understandable that a lot of people are getting really annoyed at the fact that, or got really annoyed at the fact that they took away the of operating.
And some people got so annoyed that they filed this class action lawsuit, but the judge said they got rid of it. Basically what he said was that nobody could prove that what Sony did was wrong. He said the flaw is the plaintiff's analogy is that they're claiming rights not only with respect to the features of the PlayStation product, but also have ongoing access to the internet service offered by Sony. So he's basically saying that with the PlayStation, if you have it, you still get what you want to get.
Mm-hmm. You still have a functioning PlayStation.
Yeah, you still have a functioning PlayStation. You can still get the PSN and use all their stuff, so suck it up. Basically is what he was saying. Suck it up. So it's interesting. I guess that's dead in the water now, but you're right.
I don't agree with him.
You don't agree with them?
No. Here's what's going to happen, at least in my head. If everyone who bought the PlayStation 3 before April 2010, when this all happened, if they all get the chance to take back their PlayStation 3 to Sony, get their full money back, fine. I'm whatever. Mm. You know what? Everyone gets what they want, deal's done. They can move on to whatever else they want to do. But this guy's saying that, you know, you still have a functioning PlayStation 3. Well, those are not the... Yes, I do have a functional PlayStation 3, but I didn't buy that PlayStation 3 that I currently have. I bought it knowing that I also had this functionality. So it does seem like a really shady deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from here on out. I guess nothing's going to happen. I guess that's it. It's over.
Yeah, it's done.
But we'll see if any more lawsuits are filed in the future. You know, it's interesting. One of the things we've talked about a lot in the past couple of years of this show is that a lot of lawsuits, whether it's NC2A players suing EA or these guys suing Sony or... video game players, very passionate about what they get.
But knowing that, now is anyone surprised that now every major video game console has a contract and sort of, you know that terms of agreement? Okay, in those terms of agreement now, every major console has this little section that says you can no longer file class action suits against us or be part of a class action suit. You can still sue us individually. But now their user agreements actually has that word into
right. And didn't we do a story earlier this year about how that in itself is illegal? Like, you can't tell people they can't sue you. You can give them warnings and stuff, but I don't think you can tell people that you cannot file a class action suit against us.
Yeah, but people still agree to it. Yeah. So that's
people also still file suits, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, one thing we love about the show is getting emails and questions from our listeners, and we got one such question. You can email us all the time at gotgame@fan590.com or send us a tweet. You can follow us at gotgame590. And we got a question from a listener that was kind of interesting.
Didn't give us a name.
He didn't give us a name. He just signed it with their email address, which we will not give it on the air. He said, I really enjoy listening to your program on Sunday AM on The Fan. Thank you. We love that. He said, I don't have an Xbox, a PlayStation, or any other similar units, but I do enjoy your reviews. I recently updated my computer and I'm running Windows 7. My last computer used Windows XP, and I have several games that I enjoyed. Most of my old games do not seem to run on Windows 7. Why, since all the computers sold now run Windows 7, are there not games for these platforms? Is there any way to modify my XP games for Windows 7? And is there a place to go to hire someone to modify my new computer to run old games? I'm terribly frustrated because I expected a new computer would improve my performances of old games, but I have been sadly mistaken. We feel for you, buddy, because, you know, if you're a gamer, you want to play your games, and you'd think that a nice, fresh PC would be able to handle that stuff with Windows 7. Not the case. Calhoun, you were saying you got some ideas.
Well, in many cases, it actually does, because I actually do have a laptop that I spoke about earlier, and it is running Windows 7, and I have been able to actually install some programs that were supposed to be, you know, that were built to run with Windows XP and actually get them to work on Windows 7. So I've actually also heard that a lot of people do have success with this, with, you know, putting XP programs on Windows 7. So it's strange that this guy's having such a problem. Now, there's an extra level of coding. You know, the thing about computers is that, you know, they're not intelligent at all. I mean, you got to tell them exactly what to do. You could write 10,000 lines of code, for example, and if you get like one character wrong in line 5,000, everything's done. The computer will not work properly. I mean, that's how specific you have to be. So it's understandable why this guy's games would not work with that extra level of coding that is actually Windows 7. The two things I would suggest is that if you're looking to try and get your computer fixed to work with these games, maybe you might have to go back to Windows XP. I would actually go to a place like Best Buy. You know, they have their Geek Squad guys, they're mm-hmm. computer experts. I would go talk to those guys, see if they can do anything for you. Or if you just want to buy games for a Windows 7 computer, I would just go to Valve. They call it Steam. I can't remember what the Steam Power, that's it. SteamPower.com is the website for Valve's Steam digital distribution service. Now, Steam pretty much corners the entire market in PC games, and they have like 10,000 PC games.
And there's a lot of good stuff on Steam.
Yes.
And may I recommend Super Meat Boy? Super Meat Boy is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I was just about to say that the types of games range in, you know, price in when they're released. You can get games that, you know, were released 10 years ago. It's quite amazing the library that they have. So, I mean, if you're looking for PC games to work on your computer.
That's a good option, actually.
Yeah. SteamPower.com.
Because Steam does have games from simple, you know, 2D side-scrollers to more complex shooters to puzzlers. It's got everything on there, basically.
Yeah, I've never checked, but I'm pretty sure you could probably find poker games and stuff like that. I mean, there are 10,000 or something like games on that system. So
how many?
10,000, I think.
10,000 ye- No, that's Aladdin. Sorry. What? So thank you for emailing us. I hope that helps out a little bit. Keep the emails coming on the show, as we said, gotgame@fan590.com. One thing we wanted to mention, we did, I think it was last week, our special podcast-only edition about the new update to the Xbox Live, and we said that those things were not live yet, but now they are. The applications that you can get in Canada are MSN Video, Rogers On Demand, TMZ for Warner Brothers, and YouTube. There is some other stuff coming, like UFC and what
UFC,
else?
UFC, Real Sports has their app still coming.
Zune's got one. Zune is still alive, I think, at this point, yeah.
Yeah, Zune's still up there. You can still access the Zune Marketplace.
Crackle
is the one I'm really looking forward to. We don't know exactly when they are all going to be rolling out, but some of them were supposed to be rolled out. A few more are supposed to be rolled out before the end of the year. Now, I know things like the UFC application currently set for very early 2012.
Yep.
But at least we got a few things on there. That being said, you know, I don't really watch much television, so there's not really much on this list that I really want to watch. Rogers On Demand is probably the
I was going to say, that's partly why the Rogers On Demand one is so good, because if you don't have time to sit down and watch TV, you can watch your shows
But YouTube?
Later.
Like, my cell phone has YouTube. My cell phone's never, you know, that far away from me. It seems like an odd choice for these
It's the age-old mantra of this show. More choice is never a bad thing. If you want to sit on your Xbox, and, you know, I guess the reason it's there is because if you're doing something else on your Xbox, and then you come up and you're like, oh, I've got to show you something, and you're already on your Xbox, then you can just log on to YouTube on your Xbox. And
my problem with the YouTube on Xbox, though, is that it's more complicated version than what we have currently on cell phones, on computers, and stuff like that. There are more layers because they tried to build YouTube into the, what are they calling it, the Windows operating system.
Right.
You know, the operating system that they have on their cell phones and stuff like that is what they tried to build into the Xbox. So now YouTube is just a more complicated version of YouTube.
That's it for this week's show. Man, this week's show just went flew by. We had a lot of discussion. We had Zach Cooper join us during his lunch break. We talked about some of the trailers that came out after the VGAs. You can always find us on iTunes or on our blog at sportsnet590.ca. For Zach Cooper, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, I am Omen Qureshi. This has been another edition of Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.